windows, looking out into the starlit night.
You know I keep my mind clean, and my hands steady, and my eyes open, Gert. You would do well to remember who we are going against. Not some backwards gang of careless chillers.
I know that, old friend. Ryan Cawdor and his scummy companions might be the most dangerous of our enemies. Our living enemies. In all Deathlands. I shall be ready and alert when the moment comes to put our plans into execution. But there is time to relax before that.
The Magus reached up to scratch his right eye.
True. There is still a little time before we strike. A little, little time.
Ryan and company heard the news about the killing of Diego Cala from one of the crop-headed busboys.
Stripped and stabbed. Nobody heard a thing.
Was he robbed?
Sure was. Winning his duel didn't do the poor sucker no bastard good.
The powerful engines had begun a little after dawn, building up a good head of steam to take them upriver for their night's scheduled stop at Cairo. Not all that many of the passengers had bothered to rise early to come down for breakfast. From the singing and shouting going on into the early hours of the morning, it seemed as though a lot of them would be suffering hangovers. The busboy, whose name was Richard, opened a bottle of sparkling ice water.
Three killings altogether.
Three? Who were the other two?
Gambler named Sweetwater Ricketts and a half-breed whore. Called herself Baby Martinez. Shared a cabin down the port side in the steerage class. Purser found him this morning. Sweetwater's knife was in her heart, and a .22 ball from her little pearl handled over and under Derringer in his temple. His wallet was open, and a handful of jack was still clasped in her thieving fingers.
This paradise of a vessel holds too many serpents aboard it. Maybe we should have taken our other plan and cut and run.
Nobody answered her. A wispy young blonde woman appeared at their table.
Hi, I'm Sprite, and I'll be serving your breakfast, assisted by Richard here. You ready to order?
Everyone had gone with the same order. Fresh squeezed orange juice, followed by the eye-opener starter breakfast, which was three eggs over easy, a monstrous mountain of ranchero's hash, which was chunks of fried potato with a liberal helping of onions and thick-sliced red and green and orange peppers, a side order of avocado cream dip spiced with chilies, six strips of back bacon and three link sausages, backed up with whole wheat toast and grape jelly. The companions washed it all down with several helpings from a bottomless jug of steaming coffee.
Ah, that was magnificent. It has quite eased away all thoughts of that poor murdered man. The Golden Eagle is a wonderfully dangerous craft. A most luxurious dark ferry that carries us to heaven or to hell.
Would any of you like more coffee?
Ryan looked around the table. His friends shook their heads.
Looks like we're all right, thanks.
At that moment, the huge sternwheeler thrust away from their overnight mooring. Richard walked over to collect the dirty plates and cutlery.
On to Cairo.
What's the forecast for weather? Looked fine and bright this morning.
I think I heard of a wind rising from the south, but they tell us not to worry passengers with such things. The Eagle can stand up to most weather.
They made good steady progress up the Sippy during morning. It was a little after noon when the Golden Eagle steamed across the old state line, taking her into Kentucky. The river twisted and turned endlessly, like a sun-warmed cottonmouth, between sandstone cliffs and past tree-lined bluffs. They steamed past cut-off oxbows, occasionally saluting small settlements with the steam siren. The main rooms were quiet, with only the fruit machine seeing much business. The more serious gamblers stayed in their beds, saving themselves for the evening gaming. Just a few of the hardened players leaned against the poker and blackjack tables, idly turning cards with the weary dealers. The pit bosses endlessly walked around the saloons, their cold eyes darting into every corner of every table, ever alert. Ryan had insisted on sticking to the plan of not leaving anyone alone and vulnerable. He went with Christy, Jack, and Doc, while Mildred and JB chose to stay in their cabin for a while.
Would there be any objection if we were to play a hand or two of poker?
Why not? Just don't get carried away and spend what we don't have. We'll sit here and watch.
Doc casually walked to the poker table as Ryan, Christy, and Jack took a seat. A bow-tied waiter quickly came to take their orders. Doc eased himself into one of the high stools, nodding at the five men gathered around.
No objection to a newcomer joining you?
5-card stud, 10 for openers, no limit.
That sounds jolly fun.
Doc fumbled in the deep pockets of his antique frock coat for a handful of jack that Ryan had given to him.
I'm in, gentlemen.
JB and Mildred made slow, gentle love in their locked cabin. It was only after the second coupling that Mildred had gotten up to wash at the basin in the ensuite bathroom. They were both aware that the steady movement of the steamer had altered in the past hour or so. They were pitching much more roughly from side to side, the waves jolting under the bow.
Getting unsteady, John.
Yeah. White water breaking on the banks outside. Choppy waves coming from behind us.
You think we'll have to stop?
A boat this size should be able to cut through most weather. The sky is black as pitch.
The others also noticed the menacing change in the weather. Ryan stood and went to see how Doc was getting on. He'd been playing steadily for well over an hour, and his pile of chips was the largest of any of the players.
The gods smile upon me, Ryan, my dear friend. When I have lost small. The few winning hands have been big ones.
A heavy-built man with a nicotine-stained mustache and rings on every finger sat next to Doc.
Shut your flapping mouth and play, you lucky old fart.
Take it easy, mister.
Ryan eased back his coat to show the butt of the Sig Sauer.
I'll raise 10.
I'm out.
Me too.
Only the man with the mustache and a younger red-haired gambler dressed as a priest still held cards. Both went along with Doc.
Show me.
Doc slowly fanned out the 5 cards. A 10 of diamonds, a 10 of spades, and the king of hearts, the king of clubs, and the king of diamonds. A high-ranking full house.
Raise another 20.
I fold.
You're 20 and another 20. Let's see what kind of balls you got, old-timer.
Big enough, I believe. You're 20 and 40.
This brought a long hesitation. Christy and Jack joined Ryan at the table, watching to see how the gambling was going.
I offered a raise of 40. Did I not hear some comment about showing the size of my genitals? I've shown you mine. Now you show me yours.
You're fucking bluffing me, you outlander retard.
Pay to see.
The house dealer was looking a little worried, glancing behind him to see if any of the wandering pit bosses were nearby.
It's a bluff.
The gentleman at the gaming table does not willfully keep another gentleman waiting.
Shit.
The heavily built man threw his cards on the bays, revealing 3 8s. Doc leaned forward to stack his own cards, but his opponent snatched at them.
Let's see what bluffing shit you was pulling on me.
The dealer opened his mouth to check this piece of appalling behavior, and Doc Tanner began to stand. Ryan drew his Sig Sauer and pushed the muzzle into the angry face of the beaten player.
Let it lie, friend. Doc won fair and square, and you don't have a right to see what cards he was holding.
The man dressed as a priest held out his hands in an attitude of prayer.
No need for violence, brothers. It's only a game, after all.
Fuck that!
Despite the threat of the 9mm automatic between his eyes, the man's hand was inching toward the holstered revolver at his hip.
Another inch and your brains get to decorate the wall behind you.
Though Ryan wanted nothing less than to squeeze the trigger and blow the man away, trouble was always something to avoid when possible. The red mist had come down, and the gambler was blind to any danger. His fingers brushed the walnut butt of his big, rebuilt army colt. Crimson streamed out over the man's mustache, down into the open mouth, and onto the carpet.
Hold it right there!
Suddenly, security was everywhere. A stocky pit boss carrying a snub-nosed .32 pistol jammed it into Ryan's ribs from behind. Jack, in turn, pressed the muzzle of his big Colt Python Magnum against the center of the sec man's spine. And there, in the doorway of the gambling saloon, balancing awkwardly against the swaying of the boat, was JB with his Uzi at the ready.
Everyone keep calm. Best tuck away the blasters, friends. That way nobody's gonna get hurt.
The gambler stumbled across the thick carpet, his hands clasped over his face. Captain Houston appeared from nowhere, hands folded behind his back, his good eyes surveying the violent scene and the drawn weapons.
Trouble, gentlemen? Like to hear what went down here.
The priest bowed toward the skipper of the sternwheeler, as though he were one of the disciples.
I saw it all, Captain.
So tell me.
The old gentleman's been winning, and winning well. The feller on the floor just got steamed up and tried to grab at his hand.